Welcome to This Is Not a Green Room, the podcast where we talk to friends and comedians of New York Comedy Club. We've got a returning guest, fan favorite Greg Stone.
Oh, thank you for having me. What? Where? You just make that up. That's no fan favorite.
I mean, got a lot of listens. People liked your Spidey talk. You know what I mean?
I leave these on repeat when I go home
so
that people think that it's like, oh, getting a lot more downloads here.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's just my home.
Hey,
we don't
we'll take it.
We don't get any negative comments.
Pushes us up the algorithm, man.
So
even, it's just you.
In this world, if someone doesn't comment, that's a good thing.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Rachel's out sick, so you just got me, Amy, and Nick. I am Amy. There's not three. In case you're tuning in, because I always forget to say my own name. People tell me that they're like, you never say your own name on the podcast. So I'm trying to do that, but obviously I'm very awkward at it.
Me, Amy.
Well, there's Amy. Greg's here, and I'm Nick. So,
all right,
got that out of the way.
Yep, just have nice, good stash talk.
Good yeah, we were just talking about mustaches. Greg is sporting a new look, and I'm a fan.
Thanks. Well, yeah, I just got a mustache, but I hate mustache energy, though. That's the thing. I hate when you do a thing. I used to call it new shoe energy. When you get new shoes, everyone goes, love the new shoes. And it's like, no. I like to get attention from things I can control, like comedy. I don't like things that are like, new mustache, let's talk about it. It's like, no, there's nothing funny about it. I'm just changing it up a little bit for fun. So this is a big deal for me that I'm changing something.
Yeah.
Like, that's why when I wear clothes, it's always like, you know, you do the plastic Louis, which is like the black straight, because I don't want attention drawing.
Yeah.
I don't like attention drawing clothes, you know, even like a Macho Man shirt. Then someone might come up to me and be like, Macho Man, did you watch his match in 1987 versus? And I go, I don't want to fucking do this. Dude, I don't want to do any of that.
I'm such a hypocrite because I'm currently wearing a Macho Man shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I wear shirts all the time that have big lettering, and everywhere I go, people are looking at me and reading my shirt up and down. Yeah. And then like I'm inviting them to talk to me. And as soon as they open their mouth, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you want? And like, I'm the asshole that's wearing a shirt that says,
come talk to me. This is a thing I like.
I have a shirt that says, I hate everybody and pants. It's very accurate.
Uh-huh.
But people want to come up to me like, oh, you hate me? I'm like, yeah, I do.
I didn't. Now I do. Now you brought it up.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm just going to flip this thing inside out and carry on with my day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you forget about that. I've only got a couple of t-shirts that have stuff on them. I've got a couple Doctor Who's, a Super Mario, and a Star Wars, because I'm real cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And you forget, like, when I wear, you know, I mostly just wear very neutral colors,
mm-hmm.
dark, and I'll show up at the club, and like all the comics will be like, oh, Super Mario, where'd you get that? Oh, da da da. And like, you just have this weird shirt, and you're like, oh, right, my clothes are saying, please talk to me.
Yeah, yeah. Inviting people over to do a thing. That's kind of what
I have a shirt that's, it's an unlicensed NFL shirt, because that's what happens in Pittsburgh. But it's like a cartoon drawing of Juju Smith-Schuster standing over Vontaze Burfict. It's a
he's a
wide receiver for the Steelers who like hit a guy, whatever. But like, it's just like a really cool cartoon drawing, and the word karma mm-hmm. is on it. It's so cheesy, but my mom sent it to me, and I wear it. And when I walk around, people look at me and read that, and I think they think the word karma is like some sort of slang that mm-hmm. they don't understand, and they're like looking at, they're like reading it, and like, what is that guy? Is he a terrorist? Like, and I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just stop wearing the shirt.
Yeah.
If I'm so upset about
then this, no one will talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shirtless guy.
I hate that though. That they're probably having that feeling of like, is there a joke I'm not getting? Because like on Twitter, a lot of the time they'll mm-hmm. be like a. I'm not on Twitter as much as I used to be. So when I go on, sometimes everyone will be like doing a thing. Like it's not like a visual meme, but it's like a thought meme.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I'm not following. I'm going to have to trace this back somewhere and figure out what this is a joke about.
I hate when you get that, when everyone's like, I also think Ellen is a bitch. And I'm like, well, what did Ellen do now?
I know. Ah.
And you have to go back.
I know. I'm like, who's hanging out with a war criminal? And like, I'd already seen the picture of Ellen and W. I didn't realize that's what we were talking. I was like, what? Huh?
I just got that on the way here. I found out that people are mad. And I'm like, I'm over everything. I'm over all of it. Everyone, no more opinions, guys. If I was running for president, I would say no comments. I'm going to outlaw comments.
Ooh,
no one can comment on anything
vote for you.
Anymore.
I'd vote early and often.
People would get mad, but we'd all be happier.
Oh my God. I think the internet needs an editor. This is like, I think we're done.
Yeah.
The wisdom of the crowds has proven to be fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
We should not all be able to have opinions. Mm. I mean, you can have your opinion to yourself, but you should have to, like, in the old days, like, write a letter, buy a stamp, send it to the newspaper, and then someone there decides if your opinion is worth... I don't want everyone reviewing shit on Amazon. That's all bullshit. I don't want Yelp. I don't want any of these things.
I think we're getting there. We're not quite there, but I think the majority of people who have any sort of common sense or any sort of knowledge now look at reviews and are like, what the fuck do these people know? Like that? I don't care. Like Yelp's dead.
Yelp is dying. It's really interesting. Like, their user base is way down. They're trying all these things. And part of it's because Google just now has maps and reviews and shit like that. So whatever. But
yeah, why go to Yelp? There's no need to even go to Yelp.
But people just don't trust the Yelp review. Like, if you write Yelp reviews, you're an asshole. You know, we were at somewhere the other day and I was like, you know, I don't Yelp, but I might. And then as soon as I said that, I wanted to punch myself. Like, no, I'm not going to.
I Yelp, but I only Yelp 4- and 5-star reviews.
Really?
Yep.
See, I go to Yelp when I want to know what's the worst thing they could possibly do.
Right.
Because that's the guy who's going to comment. It's like, all right, the worst. Okay, maybe the food will be cold. All right, I could deal with that.
Yeah.
Because anything I've ever commented was when it was the worst possible thing they've done to me. And I have three Yelp reviews. The gym by my house, where I was like that was my worst moment in history. They fucked me on a thing. They really fucked me, and I went in on them, and I was like, well, this is the worst you're gonna get from this gym. And if you could deal with that, you're fine.
Yeah,
but that's really it.
I've wrote a Yelp review of just like dumb things that I've enjoyed about a place, like the Guitar Center in Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
They have like a giant escalator going to and from. It's like the scene from Rain Man, but they're always so clean. And I was like, you know what? I got to let the world know about this place.
Yeah.
These escalators are pristine.
Yeah.
In Times Square too. There's a lot of dirty feet walking up and down those steps.
Yeah.
Dude, we used to constantly get, when I used to work at the Apple Store on Fifth Avenue, this comment was a bunch of times ago. I'm a PC guy. I'll never buy anything Apple. You can shit here every day. They clean the bathrooms. In this area, there is not a cleaner bathroom you can get to. And I think Apple was even kind of into it. They were kind of like, look, let everyone use the bathroom and we'll just keep them clean and people will come in and look at our products.
10% of them are going to be like, that iPhone actually looks pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, I kind of want to see. That's what my big problem with Best Buy is they would buy something and get here. It's like, if you get me in the door to use your bathroom, I might buy a video game.
Yeah.
You just got me in the door.
Oh, I do that all the time. Anywhere I have to go use the bathroom, I feel compelled after they nicely let me use the bathroom for free to be like, I'm going to buy a coffee here. I'm going to buy a little whatever.
Yeah, I just think the Apple store, it's a sales technique. You're in the bathroom doing your thing, and all of a sudden a salesman comes in and just hear a voice like, wouldn't it be cool if you had something to read right now? And then the iPhone just slides right underneath.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I went in the bathroom without my phone the other day, and Casey bought this really nice soap that's south of France, whatever. Ooh. But I had nothing to read, so I started reading the soap. It's made in Kentucky, and I could not have been more angry. It's in French, so it says south of France soap, and then everything on it is in English and then French. Like, we translated this from French for you lovely American people. And then you turn it over, and when you get to the end of the story, it's like, made in Kentucky. Shipped in the U.S. Everything is American. And I was like, oh, I'm so angry. I'm like, but you're getting away with this because nobody's looking at the soap. Everyone's got a phone.
Also, there's so little shit made in America.
Yeah, like, why
American
wouldn't
flags
you?
Made in China. It's like, whoa, the one thing we're doing, we're not even promoting being American? That's crazy.
I also don't understand why I would want French soap over any other soap. It's soap.
Because French, it's just that bullshit thing. Yeah. You know, it's like, we are more beautiful. Even though French people smell.
Yeah.
It's like every one of them. Smell? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God! We haven't talked about this already. We got the greatest review. Speaking of smelly French people, from a gentleman who, it wasn't a review. He wrote back. We send out like a week later, like, how did we do? Email, and some people write back, and some people don't care. And this guy wrote back. He's like, I attended. I really like Aaron Berg. Blah, blah, blah. That's why I came to this specific show. I've seen him before at your club on 4th Street. I've never been to 24th Street before. And I just have to tell you, there was a funk in the room the whole time. At first, I thought it was the European customers that had been pointed out by Aaron Berg.
Yeah.
But then I realized when I went out to the bathroom that I could smell it in the hall as well. It wasn't worse in the bathroom, so it can't be your septic. And I mean, like, this man went through like some Sherlock, and he'd been thinking about it for
notes.
The 8 days since he'd been there. Because the funny thing, too, is he had actually emailed Aaron from his website the day after to tell him, hey, man, blah, 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 saw you last night. Same thing, normally, blah, blah. But at the time, he was convinced. He goes, those French people were really smelly, huh? And I was like, oh, in the interim, you've really thought about this.
What was the smell?
I think it was. So I wasn't there that night, but I was talking to who was working. And there had been some BOE customers on the 915 who elected to stay for the 1130. So I think it was like Jerry Seinfeld level BO, not Jerry, you know, Seinfeld episode, not the Jerry
Seinfeld. Oh, BO. I was like, did Jerry smell?
No. You know that episode where it's in the car and it lingers and they can't get rid of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were there, so they'd been in the showroom, they'd been back out in the hallway, they'd probably been to the bathroom, then they were back in the showroom. So I think it was just BO.
That's fair. Yeah.
Might have been his.
That's true. Followed him everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, that could be a thing.
All right. Well, none of this is what we were going to talk to Craig about. Let's switch gears. So a couple days ago, Greg was at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the fantasy draft.
Yes. We did the fantasy draft. It was very fun.
Set us up
like
with the
superhero. Fantasy draft?
Yeah. How does it work? How do you win?
So you pick like, it's like, not a, it's like, it's so funny. It's like such a bull thing. It's just like excuse to be funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's really all it is. But it's like, so you pick your superhero draft and then the crowd kind of votes on what team they like the best. But like, the crowd is children. The crowd is 70, you know, like 38-year-old single crazy nerdy men. And like
the Comic-Con crowd.
It is the Comic-Con crowd. And so you don't pick teams based on who would win in a fight. You pick teams based on who you can riff on, who you can make fun and be fun with and do that and just put on an entertaining show. The winner doesn't mean shit. Except this year, it mattered because I won. And this was the only year I would say they were right. They nailed it. Yeah, it was like a fun little thing. I kind of want to do more other stuff, but I did it with James Mattern, Evan Williams, and my friend Jen, who was like an editor at Marvel. And man, James was texting me months in advance. Bubba's, I think this is who, if you don't know James at home, he's like, he was from Vegas and he couldn't be any more from Vegas.
Yeah. And you can look him up. We have an episode with him about 6 months back, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talked about the anguish of making the album, and it's a, this is like perfect.
Yes.
Just going back and forth. Like, this is what I think. This is what I think. No, that's good. That's bad. That's good.
Every single thing he does, he puts 100% in.
Oh, yeah.
So like with his picks, he was like, I don't know. Should I go Namor from 1970 or Namor from 1995? I'm like, James, they're not going to ask you what year Namor they want. And he's like, well, you know, Bubba's, you know. And I'm like, so he was like, he took it so seriously. And then, so it's kind of like shitty because one, I had done it the year before. So I also kind of know what gets laughs there and kind of how to kind of do it a little bit. And then Evan was next to me. He did like a Skeletor impression and that immediately put him over because I set him up for it. Like I knew he was like, we were talking like my team was all hunks. So it was all like half naked men because the year before I had drafted all, I picked all people who, the unpickables. So it's like, I want the last like Blob and all fat, ugly people because I said no one would pick me, I want to pick them, and I didn't win. So this year I said screw you, you guys want to, I'm picking all hot men. So I just picked all hot men. And I set Evan up. I picked He-Man, right? I'm like, so just to set, I know he does a killer Skeletor, so I just kind of volley the ball over to him. He starts doing it starts crushing. Jen is this girl, she's got like pink hair, and there's all these little girls in the crowd, you know what I mean? And like she's speaking right to them. And then James is a raving lunatic.
Oh yeah. Just a nut job.
Yeah, and James was great. James was like killing it all the way through.
Yeah.
But that's, you can see why they were picked in certain orders.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was like, I'm the best and the funniest. And Evan had a Skeletor impression. Yeah. And Jen is a woman. So, I mean, I'm not really sure, but that's what I'm saying just to piss off James. And then so James gets fourth place and he stands up and gives like a pipe bomb, like the biggest fucking, he just starts going, you people all need to get jobs. And like, it was the funniest thing. We're all dying. I was kind of like, dude, you should have did this before the vote. And he's like killing it. And
there's a good video of it out there. We'll
You got to post the video. It's so funny. Him just turning on the crowd. And then
he announces it too. About 2 sentences, he's like, I'm turning heel.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really? We didn't get that.
He texts me 2 days later. He goes, I should have picked Korg. If Korg was on my team.
I was like, no, none of the team mattered. None of this matters. Korg wasn't changing the tide. Yeah.
During the heel turn speech, he actually quoted the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
Dude, and I told him, I was like, dude, like, it's better that you lost because then you did this video, which was way funnier than anything. And I was like, and if you're like a wrestling fan, I was comparing it to when Bret Hart fought Stone Cold, where Stone Cold in this match, Stone Cold lost. But he never gave up, so then he became the biggest star from just, like, winning in this match. And he lost, but he did this great video that totally put him over with everyone. It was like, yeah, this might go viral. Like, it's super funny.
Yeah, that's, like, the more memorable part than, like, who did win. And, well,
sure, Skeletor's sure, it's kind of memorable. But you know what's more memorable is taking home an actual belt.
Fair.
Taking home an actual belt.
Because you can, it's a physical
and you have
it's
a belt.
A physical... Yeah. Reminder every day.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, like, you know, he had a great moment after, but if he was consistent throughout the entire thing, he would have, you know, maybe he would have had a chance, but he doesn't have a chance because when you go up against the king, you know, you're going to get the fucking axe, all right? Ned Stark, all right, that's what happens, all right? We're going to cut your fucking head off when you come up against the...
so the crowd votes, and what do you guys, just go back and forth, and then it's like... But it, I mean, how does it actually work?
Via text.
Ah.
So they give a number and they text, and then you know who wins via the text or whatever.
It's like American Idol, but for nerds.
Yeah.
And you're just picking comic book. Like who's in?
Yeah, who's your hunky
who's
team?
In the who's in the pool that you can pick from? Anybody? Who's
anybody?
Anybody who's ever been in a
well,
comic
for my,
book? Or?
Mine was the hunks, so I only picked hot people. Right.
Like
so
who?
I went with my first was He-Man. Mm-hmm. Right. Then Dr. Manhattan, because he's full frontal.
Oh,
you
yeah.
want a guy who's confident, who's going to show his dick. Like, that's big. I went with Chris Hemsworth. Not Thor.
Oh.
Not Thor. Chris Hemsworth. Because Chris Hemsworth is the heat you want to bring. Thor is fine, but we need a strictly hot man. And then you can steal. And I stole Sauron, because Sauron is this pterodactyl character who also doesn't wear a shirt for diversity. So we had them, and then Luke Cage, because those are my. Well, I picked only people who were shirtless.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then James picked just like an insane team that he should write a comic book about. Like it was a great story there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that was really, really kind of it. But
did you get to walk around at all and like do other stuff, or were you really just kind of in and out?
Well, that's the thing. I was kind of in and out, and I had so much to do. I didn't really get to do what I really. It was just so busy. It's just so busy that it's. And here's the thing with the internet, it kind of sucks. It's like the only reason to go for, because I'm a big toy guy, so I like to go to see all the new toys that are coming out. Mm-hmm. But with the internet, you kind of see them as they're happening. And so it's like, I don't want to fight somebody. And the exclusives, if you want an exclusive, you got to wait online for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not fun. So I like to go on like Thursday morning and like Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like dead and mess around. But with Thursday was when the show was, and I was running late, so I didn't really get to do. I know you were like, you want to come talk Comic-Con? It was like, well, I did this panel, and then we'll have to move on. But yeah, I didn't see too much. Have you ever been?
No.
No,
oh,
yeah, I've
neither.
Been either.
Never been to San Diego or
really?
New York. Yeah.
Remind me next year. I always, because people know me as a comic book guy.
Yeah.
They're always like, you want a free pass? And I always end up with free passes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I gave them to two people in my coffee shop today. I didn't even like.
Yeah.
Think. I'll get you guys. Yeah, next year, let me know if you guys want to
Thanks.
Go. It's fun.
That's fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I'm going to try to pitch a show next year so I can do an actual show. So
yeah.
I'm going to pitch a show and then have James on it and then defeat him again.
Yes.
Just put it in his...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what's funny? The first year we moved here, Robbie Slovic, my roommate, ended up on a Comic-Con show. And he's like, I don't know how this came to be. I don't really know anything about comic books, but get to go be funny with a bunch of nerds. Yeah. It's like, all right.
It's because the guys who book these things go, who do I know that's funny? And they don't do any research. They don't really want to do any research because it's like, I don't really want to deal with that. So then this year, like the first year that the fantasy draft, I got into it, I think because Anthony did it and then recommended me. Like Anthony doesn't know anything. My friend Anthony DeVito doesn't know a thing about comic books.
Yeah.
He's a sports guy. So they had me on the next year. And this year they were just like, hey, I pretty much booked it. The guy who was booking it had a kid. And he was also like, I don't know comedians who know comic books. So Evan, James, and Jen were all like friends. And I was like, they all know
that
comic
works.
Books. And a bunch of other people like bailed. So
yeah, because also Chuck Nice did a show at Comic-Con this year. And like, you know, he's Star Talk. There's the science nerd lead in to that. But I'm like, I mean, he's got a teenage kid. Maybe I was like, huh, very funny. Going to be a good time. They'll have a good time. But I don't think that's not the first person I think of when I'm like, Wolverine.
Yeah. What's the content? Like, what is it? What did he talk about? Do we even know?
No, I don't know. I think it was just straight a stand up show.
Really?
I think either or maybe it was a Star Talk thing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fun. That's
I should know things. I'm very bad at paying attention to details of other people. My roommates are going to Israel and Paris, and I literally like. I think maybe tomorrow, but also maybe 3 days from it. I don't know. And someone asked me, like, where are they going? I was like, is somewhere that's not in this continent.
Robbie?
Yeah. Robbie and Casey. Yeah.
Oh.
Israel and Paris.
Yes. Which is funny because it was in the middle of a conversation. I was talking to a bunch of people about, like, who wants to have kids and who doesn't, blah, 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 because Andrew and Christina. And I, like, after I was like, this is why I can't have children. I can't even... remember. Oh God. And like Sam Rubinoff moved and we had a whole conversation about it. I was like, you moved? He goes, yeah, we talked about this. I was like, see, again, I couldn't care for another human life because I'd be like, oh, you are allergic to peanuts. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a thing. Oh, now I remember.
I think it's not about caring so much as I think it's just like, yeah, some shit that you need easy access to. And then there's stuff that just goes in the back. It's like, yeah, Sam moving isn't something I need to reference a bunch of times or I need to make sure I'm doing anything. You know what I mean?
Like, that's true. Yeah, there's no action item here.
Yeah, exactly. You can put that in the RAM. You don't need that in the RAM. You know, you can use that in the hard drive.
That's like when people say, oh, I'm really bad with names. No, you're not. You just don't care. Like when you meet someone for the first time, they're a stranger. You don't care about them at all.
And no, like, I'm really bad at names, not because I don't care. It's literally how my brain works. Like, I'm not an oral person, like A-U-R-L, not O-R-A-L. I'm a written. Like, I've always had to, in every lecture, I have to take my own handwritten notes. Whenever we have meetings, I take notes on actual paper because I'm so visual, that's how I remember it. And, like, the more interested I am in the person I met, the faster I forget their name because something they said after their name was so interesting. I'll be like, oh my God, that guy I met yesterday. Yeah, he's got a brother with multiple sclerosis too. And then I'll be like, oh, his name was Mike or Chris or something. I don't know. He moved here from Chicago. Like, I'll remember your biography. I just will not remember your name.
They say 90% of directions or some shit like that. When you're giving someone directions, when they go make a left, when you use your hand, we all do these weird hand gestures.
Yeah.
But you retain more of the weird hand gestures than you do any of the directions that were spoken. Yeah. It's just a thing with our brains. It's like this non-audio. It's like this. Yeah. You need it. It's like this hand directions really make sense. I'm doing it on an audio podcast, so no one can see me. But, you know, like it's. I think that's why Italians talk with their hands. Where we want you to remember, we're paying attention.
You know what? You know what else is weird about directions is when you tell people the four directions, everyone says it north, south, east, west, north, south, east, west. That's how you say it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just how everyone says it. We read left to right, north, south, east, west, but that's not right.
North, south, west, east.
That's how we should say it. North, south, west, east.
Let's start it now. We'll just do it now.
Yep. There it is.
Just change it.
Hashtag.
Well, or why not go clockwise? Because we look at clocks clockwise. Why not west, north, east, south?
Mm-hmm. Wait. Clock. Okay.
That's another clockwise.
I can't figure out what you're saying. Oh, boy.
I also don't know if I did that in the right order because I still have trouble with both left and right and west and east.
Neither of us called you out if you did.
Clockwise. Yeah. So it would be north, like east, southwest. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
North, southeast.
I started at west for no good reason. Can't. Started at 8:45, you know.
I also want to throw this in with the names thing. Yeah. I just get way more anxiety. I'm not good with names. I think it's anxiety related because I will know your name up until if you
oh my God, yeah.
Literally came up to me right now and went, "What's my name?" I'll go, "Holy shit, maybe it's not Amy. It could be I know people so well." And you go, if you literally said, "What's his name?" I would go, "Might be Dave. It might be Dave," because the anxiety, I know it's Nick, but I'm saying like I think it also comes from hosting. Like I would freak out when I'm hosting, so I was like, there's a good chance I'm going to forget this person's name. I've done that with like good friends where I'm like, this next guy, Mr. Larry, like I'll just like call him by their last name because I get in my head. I bet more people, I bet that's a common, more
I
common.
Did, I yeah. used to do that when I would do the pre-show announcements because, you know me, I'd like to jazz it up and be like an in-ring announcer from wrestling. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, you've seen this guy on MTV. Now make some noise for...
Fuck yeah!
Those are.
I mean, it's like. Meanwhile, Brendan Sagalow standing next to me, he's like, "Dude, what the fuck?
How do you not know me?" Totally.
Those are my favorite moments when the pre-show announcement, when I can hear it, and like a lot of times the pause is not actually as long as it feels to you
yeah.
while you're saying it before you recover, but I can hear it and I'm just like,
yeah.
I forgot.
It's you funny forgot Matt Pavich's name. You've known him for 10 years.
Yeah. That is so
when
much.
I'm introducing people, that's when that anxiety hits me. That's when I could have known you forever. And I'll just be like, oh, Janelle, this is Nick.
Yeah. We've talked about this before. And it's the, for me, Michelle's and Melissa's.
Yeah.
Like, I can know you for years. And it's like, oh, this is. This is Michelle? Yeah, it's Michelle.
Yeah.
Like, I'll always get those confused.
Yeah. I just do a general... I pretend to not know everyone's names with people I know so well, so that when I have to do it, like, I was like, you know this guy? And it's like, that's Anthony. It's your best friend. This way, when I fuck it up with someone real, you're like, oh, no, he does that with everyone.
It's like your bit.
Just bring the shit down to people so that it's never questioned. Yeah. It's like, yeah, so then they'll never know.
My girl, I do a lot of you guys know each other and let you take care of
it. That's great.
Oh, you guys know each other. My girlfriend Claudia gives me shit all the time because I'm so bad at introducing people. Mm-hmm. But it's not because of that. It's because I don't want to fuck up their name.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, hey, this is my girlfriend Claudia. And then I just like, your turn.
Yeah,
get in there.
You take it from here.
Yeah. It's oh, he does such a bad job introducing. No, I know what I'm doing.
That's fair.
It could be worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, wait, you had something?
No.
Oh,
I mean, I could, but if you've got a thing, go.
Well, Greg is here, and we, last time we had you here, Avengers had just came out.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about staying off social media to avoid all spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
You've just seen Joker,
mm-hmm.
So without spoilers,
yeah.
Can you talk about the movie? Because I have not seen it, and neither has Amy.
Well, I'll say this. This is what's kind of... So the first thing is that, like, what made me mad is that, like, clearly there are political things behind it that, like, I guess that Todd Phillips came out and said some shit about, like, he was like, I'm not doing comedy anymore because y'all can't take it or something. And so then people got mad about that. So then I think there were people going into it saying they hated it before they saw it. I will say this. It is, in my opinion, a masterpiece. And I think the evidence of that is I saw it with a comic book fan and he was like, this is awesome. I saw it with Evan Williams. He was like, this was awesome. I think I saw it with Evan. I saw it with somebody. I have no idea. Then I saw it with last night with three non-comic book fans. And they looked traumatized when they walk out. Anthony DeVito was like, dude, this was a great movie. I'll never watch it again. Like, I think it just was a little disturbing to him. At the end of the movie, some lady yelled, trash. And so what I think a great movie makes you think or investigate stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that you cannot make a claim that it's not a well-done movie.
Yeah.
Right? I think it is a well-done movie. But I think it may make people kind of like deal with shit that a lot of them don't want to deal with because it's mental illness heavy.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's crazy. It's like violent in a weird way. And then it's also like a little politically... It's like,
yeah, there's a little bit of an agenda
of the times,
there.
You know, of like, it is showing us something. It is kind of like there is a little bit of like, who will we follow in it? Like, are we all maniacs? And so there is a little stuff that I think will be triggering for people, but that just proves to me that it's a great movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think if you can walk away with that and go like, fuck, that made me touch something I didn't want to touch. Yeah. It's like, it is a great movie.
Like, yeah. I haven't seen it, so I don't want to comment on it. Like pretending I know what I'm talking about, but from what I gather, the movie is like when I first saw the trailer, you know, almost a year ago, it was like, you know, all these awful things are happening, you know, all these mass shootings. And the first thing everyone always wants to do is like, how could somebody do that? How could somebody do that? And then it just gets lumped into mental illness. Yeah. That's it. That's how. And then that's it. They never talk about it again. They never want to go talk to that person. Mm-hmm. They never want to find out what the fuck happened to you to make you want to do that. Oof. And then from this movie, and I was like, so this is kind of explaining to people, this is where we are. This is how this happens. And I think people are just like, can't, they look at that and instead of an explanation, they look at it as it's almost like encouragement. Well, and it's I could be wrong. So
no, I'm not saying you're wrong.
It's a different thing, but you've actually seen
what you're saying, right? It makes you no one wants to talk about it. Like, this movie would say, yeah, maybe don't talk to those people. Like it deals with mental illness on the way of like, yeah, I mean, it's not a spoiler, but it's they touch on like healthcare and like how the mentally ill can get fucked. And dude, it's like yeah, I mean, some it did make me think about a few people I know that are crazy and go, yeah, maybe don't spend so much time around that person.
Don't poke the bear.
Because you don't, I mean, real mentally ill people, like not comedian mentally ill, like homeless mentally ill,
yeah,
that like are dangerous.
Yeah.
It's like there is no negotiating with them. Mm-hmm. They're not seeing what you're seeing. They're not. You can't be like, oh, because you know, like, wasn't I nice to you? They're like, no, I remember you driving a car in outer space. Like, they're not yeah. connected.
Yeah.
So like showing that side of mental illness, the real psychotic mental illness, is like it's real, and I don't know that a lot of people are seeing it.
Does it happen? Like, because one of my big things that I'm, you know, the horse that I'm riding in on is like, I get very irritated that now everything is mental illness. Like, oh, I don't like crowded subways. I get anxiety when I'm like, yeah, nobody likes crowded. If you liked crowded subways, you would be mentally ill.
Says the man who won't answer the phone because it gives him a panic attack.
Exactly. Okay. But I don't go around parading like, I have anxiety. Look at me. I have anxiety. Like, I feel like a lot of people do that. And it's like, they just lump everything in together now as mental illness. And like for this, so this movie's like, no, because you got a case of the Mondays doesn't mean you're depressed and you're not going to go kill everybody, because that is a difference.
So we're going to get really, so the truth is, right? That's, I do a lot of dealing with this, right? Because of, you know, I worked in an ER and I saw a lot of this stuff. I have friends who are mentally ill. All of them are. We are all mentally ill. But like with a cold, I think, oh fuck, I'm not a doctor, but there's a definitive thing that you can say, like AIDS. It's like, this is attacking this. These are the, you know, or
yeah,
why, you know, whatever, you know. But with mental illness, it is all based on how you react, you know. And like, it's, you can't look at someone's brain and go, I mean, unless you're a neuroscientist, which none of us have insurance to see. But even that,
like, there's a lot of, you know, inconsistencies of like,
yeah,
like they just came out and are like, there's actually three types of bipolar, and one of them has been being regularly misdiagnosed as unipolar depression. And if we look at things in brains, we get three different kinds of scans, and you get a different scan from some people who are diagnosed as depressed versus the people that we're now saying are this other type of bipolar. But like, there's also a lot of ambiguity.
Yes. And a lot of it is dealt with by how you react to things.
Yeah.
And there are people that get medications for years, and then all of a sudden the medication stops working, or it doesn't work.
Or it wasn't the right medication in the right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And so like, as a guy who's just as ADD, I was diagnosed with ADD, you know, it's like there's problems with people being like, I take my pill and then I go, well, it works, but do I have ADD, or am I just not stimulating my brain in the right way? Am I not training my brain to work the right way? And to even bring that up, people is like shitting on people with ADD. It's like, yeah, well, you mean you could just do it without pills? It's like, I don't know. But what does anyone know? Like, I don't know, yeah, what people know. So, I mean, I don't know. I think I got a little lost in my explanation there. But I think
you were going that like mental illness is harder to diagnose and it's nebulous.
It is harder to diagnose than clearly a thing.
A physical ailment. Yeah.
But then like someone saying like, this gives me anxiety, does help them, because it allows you to put a name on a thing, mm-hmm, that allows you to then attack the thing. Well, going on a subway gives you anxiety. Great. How do you beat that? You know, as opposed to me going on a subway and I'm just always freaking out because I never put a label on it,
yeah,
and never explained like, oh, this gives me anxiety. I need to now take the train different times or figure out a way that I can address this, you know, without calling myself a coward,
yeah,
or something like that.
No, I think that's a great point. I think what I'm saying is, and like, I agree with you. I'm not trying to like be,
no
argumentative here. I just, to me,
half a semester in community college.
Yeah.
This isn't, yeah, a real conversation.
I get upset when it's like the phrase mental illness now covers everything. Like, oh, you're having a bad day. Well, it's a mental illness. Like, no, it's not. It's not a mental illness, because waking up on the wrong side of the bed is not a mental illness. And I don't think it's fair to people who do suffer. And it's like, I don't know.
But
it's,
oh,
I'm the opposite. I disagree with you 100% because, number one, and this is my expertise in some of this, is having worked at a mental health clinic in Rhode Island for about a year, there is actually, like, diagnosably, there are basically two big buckets. There's mental illness and there's serious mental illness. And serious mental, and I know that's just a weird qualifier, serious mental illness are the schizophrenia, the paranoia, the bipolar, things like that. And then, you know, there's also chronic mental illness, and that's like depression and anxiety. But I'm like with Greg on that, of I think that, you know, the While there are a few people that abuse it the same way we have white people trying to claim discrimination at the club, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, that doesn't negate the goodness of the fact that there are, you know, 20 years ago, if you had anxiety or depression, you needed mother's little helper, and it was a deep, dark secret, and there was just something wrong with you, or your mom was bad, or mm-hmm. whatever. And now it's like, oh no, you've got a chemical imbalance in your yeah. brain. Probably one of these four or five things is going to help rebalance that. And yeah, you should take some steps to do that.
To what you're saying, I get furious. Not furious. I think there's an issue with comedians and depression.
Yeah.
Because comedy is depression. Meaning, to do this business, you have to be broke. You get people telling you you're not good enough. Everything you believe is questioned, and it's shit. And you are going to have the exact same side effects as someone who actually is depressed. But then when your life starts getting better, you start going, oh shit, I wasn't depressed. I would made $8,000 for 4 years. You know, and like, and no offense, like, Trump is president. There's a lot of shit going yeah. on right now that is going to give you the same effects. But it's like, maybe meditate. You know, but I'm not saying that for... But yeah. then I do yeah. know people with ADD who, like, I can't pay attention. So then they start taking Adderall, all these drugs, and it's like, oh, you don't, you didn't need that.
You were a different shade of gray.
You were a different shade of gray that could have been holistically taken care of.
There's other interventions for you.
There are, yes. And so, like, I always try to argue, like, you know, like, if comedy is making you miserable or your job is making you miserable, try to change the outside sources first. But then if you get, like, I think the clear, Gary Goldman talks about it, but, like, if you get a headlining set, and or like, you know, you get a TV credit and then you're like, I still can't get out of bed. It's like, maybe now it's time to check.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Get some pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. But if you're doing open mic for 15 fucking years,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, maybe you got to just go work at Sears. You know, like, maybe it's time to do something else you love. Too. Yeah.
Sears for depression.
Yeah. my big thing with, sorry, I'm going to go on a rant.
Yeah, no.
My big thing with comedy is that too many people in comedy and podcasts, they want the outcome. They don't want the performance, right? If you learn to make yourself happy with performing on stage, if that's the thing that brings you enjoyment, then that's what you should be going for. But if that can't make you happy until you have that TV credit or those other things, then it's like, well, then you're never going to be happy because there's always going to be something that's another 5 feet away. Yeah. There's always going to be a shelf higher. But if you just try to make the moment now happy, then you'll be happier in comedy. Like, it took a lot for me to get there. Of like, I mean, it took me getting my own apartment and being like, yeah, I could just be happy like this.
Yeah.
But, you know, sorry. That's really...
No, that's really,
that's
I think,
a really good
I
point. Be
happy on the shelf instead of the constant reach. Sorry.
Yeah no, that's... I mean, that's perfect. That's a perfect way to say it, because that's kind of like what I was getting at is like, you know, I don't... I just feel bad for people who actually are suffering and they're afraid or they don't have an outlet. Mm-hmm. And then I have to, you know, watch somebody who's just not having a good day claim they have depression. It's like, you know, you're making this hard for the people who are actually suffering, mm-hmm. because, you know, now I can't feed everybody, you know, like, it's like, oh, you're having a bad day. You're depressed. Your girlfriend just broke up for you, but you're just miserable all the time. Like, who do I don't know which one I got to talk to first.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, well,
you know who you got to talk to first?
Yeah. Talk to myself.
You got to talk to you, baby. You got to make you happy.
Greg just pointed at me, but he pointed at my Macho Man shirt, and I thought he was going to say, got to talk to the Macho Man.
Ooh, yeah. No, but that speaks very well to who you are, as you do want to make other people happy and stuff like that and take care of them. But you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And if it's like, hey, like, great example, I had a room. I don't know if I should say it. I had a roommate who is so neurotic, who stresses out about everything. And then I realized, he's not truly stressed. He's just constantly talking. So you can literally go, oh, I'm not doing this one right now. I'm not doing this one. I can't go over your fantasy draft right now.
I feel like we've already talked about, yeah. I feel like we already talked about him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, James knows. I love James, but James is doing great, yeah. You know? But he'll freak out about things. But what you learn as his roommate is you go, oh, I can leave you on this one.
Yeah,
and you will be okay.
You're not going to jump off a bridge.
You're not. And he knows he's good. Yeah. So sometimes you go, James, I love you, but I can't. And he'll go, okay, Bubba's. And then you call him back literally to fix anything of his James. You just call him randomly and go, I love you. And he goes, I love you too. You know, and like, that's what he thrives on. But the way he presents things is sometimes is like, he's freaking out. And it's like, you're not freaking out. you're okay. And he's like, he knows he's okay. So like some of those things is you have to like, you just have to look at the individual and go, are you just like a miserable person all the time? Is nothing I do going to help? Because none of that shit is like, you got to fix the fucking foundation. Yeah. Not the, you're like, they're trying to get a new door. It's like, dude, you got to put cement in the basement. Like it's all fucked up.
Got to put cement in the basement. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. You can't put the plumbing in until the frames are up.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
No, I think it made a lot of sense.
That's, that fits with the metaphor.
Let's go with it.
We're going.
Yeah. Yep. Building the house here.
And that was a big problem with mine. I was drinking so much coffee and taking Adderall that it was making me so anxious that I needed something to concentrate on. And you grab the first thing that makes you upset, and then you go, oh, it's because I have nothing in comedy. No, it's not. It's because you had a cold brew and two shots of espresso, and you need something to put your energy in.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what James does. He has energy, and he needs to put it somewhere.
Put it somewhere.
And he puts it there, and you go, James, just go for a run. And then he feels better.
Yeah.
But then he does seriously have things a lot of times that are upsetting. Yeah. But you can always tell.
But
you can always tell when he's just a dog who needs to be walked. Oh, my God. I'm talking shit about James. Dude, we used to always...
This is all lead up. This is all promo cutting into the next draft. Oh,
you could always tell when James had a lot of energy, he'd be home and he'd sit there and he'd come, Greg, how you doing? And I would go, did no one walk the dog? Did no one walk James? And then you give him all this energy. And he's like the most beautiful and amazing person, but he's like no other human I've ever met before.
Yeah, that's really true. He's very unique.
We would always talk. He'd always be like, okay, what show on the A-Team? Which one am I? And I'm like, none. You are not anyone from any show that has ever existed. You are the only one of you that has ever been. And he'd be like, yeah, but like, I'm kind of like BA. And I'm like, no, you're James. You're only ever James, the most individual human being I've ever met in my life.
That's true.
Yeah,
I'm kind of like BA. No, you're not. You're not. James.
You are not Murdoch. You are only James Mattern. And you will only ever be James Mattern. The only human being like him that I will ever meet. And literally one of the most beautiful, genuine people you'll ever... Yeah. I have to, if I'm going to shit talk him, I got to talk about how you can
trust... How wonderful he is.
You can... That's a guy you can go to in a hole. He'll give you money. He'll
nicest
take care
guy in
of
comedy.
You. Huh?
Nicest guy in comedy.
Well, second nicest guy in comedy. Just kidding. No, he is. He's the James.
He treats open micers the same way he treats his friends, and that's shocking to see. Like he'll walk into the club and these young comics who probably don't even know who he is. Mm. Just goes up to him like, hey, how you doing? And he'll start bullshitting with him like blah, 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 and then leaves and just like, that's what I gotta do. Like, I just gotta start treating people as equals. I don't mean like, it's like, Jesus Christ, dude, like these people have nothing for you. And like, he's just talking to them. Yeah, yeah, have a good time. Yeah, yeah, we'll do that. Oh, that's great. Yeah, blah, blah, yeah. And it's like, man, like,
Put your feet on the stage and don't you fucking put your feet on the seat. I love, okay, sorry. Now this has turned into let's tell stories about James Mattern, but we're getting to the point we got to wrap up anyway. So he messaged me the other day. He'd been hosting and it was kind of a light crowd. And, you know, there were comics sitting in the back in that corner booth at Gramercy. And he goes, I got off the stage. There's a kid. Never seen this kid here before. I don't know who he is. Not on the show. He's just lounging there. He's got his feet up on the thing. I told him he needed to show some more respect for the place. And if you're going to be in the room, you got to laugh and don't talk and don't have your phone out and blah, 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 blah. He goes, that's okay, right? I was like, oh, Bubba. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a family, he is the dad, the mom, the kids, and the dog.
Yes.
He's literally every single person in the family at any given time. Yeah, he's the best.
Except for picking fantasy teams, then he goes
wildly inadequate at picking a fantasy team. Wildly,
I'm excited for this build up for the next draft. Yeah. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. The groundwork has been laid. Now we've put cement in the basement. We're going to build this house. Oh, next year's fantasy draft. Me and Amy are going because we're getting passes from Greg. This has turned out to be a great afternoon.
Delightful.
Well, the champ doesn't get to go back. Only second place goes
really?
Back. Yeah, yeah. I'm retired as champ.
You should sit in the audience.
Oh, I'm.
Did
gonna,
you see the video?
Plant, be a plant.
Like the NWO.
Did you see
my belt?
Did you see the video of MJF in cosplay as Jericho? And this is at Comic-Con, and Maxwell Jacob Freeman he's got the hat and the jacket. He's like, oh, I think you're really great. You were like just being such a mark to Jericho.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, you were great in Japan as the Lionheart and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he goes, another question is, how does it feel to know that I'm better than you? And he takes the hat off and everyone's like going nuts. That's what you should do.
That's great.
Just sitting in the audience and be like, oh, this is, I have a suggestion. And then take your mask off.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, it's Greg Stone.
Hit him with the belt from behind. bring him down.
By God, that's Greg Stone's music.
Yeah, we're setting up. We've been setting up a rivalry for next Comic-Con, nice. Where it's all going to explode.
You can have a whole little sketch at the beginning of the show, you know, leading in. Woof.
Yeah.
Greg doesn't have to do the show next year because he's the champ and he can walk around and look at toys.
I know. That I'm very excited
yeah,
about.
Just cut the line and just like with your belt and be like,
this is for me.
This is, I get to go in front of here.
Yeah. I'm such a fucking idiot too. Oh, because I never even put this together, but like they do all these artist alleys and like I'm always trying to reach out to someone who's a comic book guy because I want to write a comic book and I just don't know how that business works.
Yeah.
In any way. It's like, and I was like, I should have just went to Artist Alley and been like, just talk to writers
yeah.
and be like, hey, I wrote this, this, and this. This is what I'm doing. Knowing me, I would talk to any comedian who had honest questions about comedy. There's got to be writers yeah. who will take 5 minutes to tell me how I need to write my script.
I'm so glad you said this because I have a buddy. I told him that I was going to give him a little plug because he's a good friend of mine out in L.A.
I won't talk to him.
His name is Dennis McGee Fallon. He wrote a comic book called Plague, mm-hmm. and it's actually being made into a movie. So I told him I'd give him a little plug since we're doing a comic book show. But yes, I'm going to link you guys together. Listeners, definitely check out his stuff. Plague. That's it. I don't think it's the Plague. It's just Plague, and it's pretty cool.
Plague.
Yeah. I'll tag you in a couple of stuff.
Plague is weird.
I get that Plague.
Pennsylvania. Plague.
Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh. Yeah. Oh, I can get real Pittsburghese. I try really hard to keep it, but get a little liquor in me, watch the Steeler game. Ian's Jaguars. What are you going down there? Ian's guy's going to get first down. I don't think so.
That's great.
It's gross. So, but Greg, what
dialects,
else?
Baby. You, got anything you want to plug?
What do you got coming up? You've got a new thing, right? With the comic book? No, nothing?
What do I have? I'm so stressed out, but you can always listen to my podcast, The Rad Dude Cast. It's more of like a funny improvised podcast. And if you like comic book stuff, I do a podcast called Cerebros, which is me and my brother.
Yeah, that's what I was talking
Jose,
about.
And we just talk shit and talk about growing up and toys and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, and follow me on Instagram, Greg.
And Greg does Stone jokes Square. Lots of places all the time.
Yeah. Don't ask me where, though, because I never put my fucking calendar up, my schedule up. And I do a thing. This is so silly because you're here. Because you always see people who like, if they're at the Cellar, they'll post their Cellar spots. And if they're at the New York Comedy Club, they'll put whatever. And it's like, I always, like, if I post one for the Cellar, I make sure I post one for New York Comedy Club. I post one. Like, I have this. I feel like I don't want to.
You're like, you're communist. I got to share the wealth.
No one's looking at them.
Like, but good communist, not bad communist.
I want everyone to know I love them equally. Like, that's always my thing, which is so fucking stupid. Because, like, no one cares or knows. But I'm terrible at promoting. I'm terrible at putting my stuff on my website.
Yeah.
So just message me if you want to see me. I guess that's what I'll do.
Just Google his name. Some shit will come up. You'll find him.
Sure.
He's so stressed out all of a sudden. Just like, I don't care. Whatever. I'm done.
Oh, God. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Well, thank you, Greg.
Yeah, thanks for coming by.
It's been a lovely chat.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm sure we'll have you back again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
I love you guys.
Yeah. Bye. Thank you for listening to This Is Not a Green Room. We are available wherever you get your podcasts, including Stitcher, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and iTunes, as well as the Laughable app. And wherever you're listening to us, please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating so that other people can find us and love us too. You can find us online at Not a Green Room on Instagram and Twitter, and you can check out the club at New York Comedy on Twitter and NY Comedy Club on Facebook and Instagram.